Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
I'm Angry.
Today it is episode 40 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Fury.
Oh, Angry.
I'm not going to do that the whole episode. This episode was written by Kenji Sugihara, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, the Autobots arrived on Gigantion, and they met some new friends. And in this episode, Scourge is helping Megatron to, I guess, walk.
Yeah, well, he says he's gonna help him walk it off, I guess. And then Scourge has a line like, we all lose a fight every now and again, and Megatron doesn't smash him one for saying something like that. Like, you think he'd be like, Megatron never loses, or something like that. No, he just walks along.
Also, you would think that Scourge would not say a line like that. Like, hey, if you lose, you suck. But Megatron insists he needs more power, which will begin this episode of him just, I don't know, conjuring power, which I don't know why he didn't do it before. We'll get into that in a while, because now we go to Optimus, who exposits everything that happened in the last episode.
Yep, just with different dialogue. But other than that, it's a complete recap of what happened. And not only do these guys on Gigantion abandon cities, they also apparently delete any data about them after they abandon the city.
So does that mean that every time they build a new city, they have to, like, figure out engineering from scratch or what?
I don't know. But Jetfire then says there might not be any data on where the key is then, but there might be data in an older city, which they were just told would have had all the data about it deleted when it was abandoned.
That doesn't matter, Paul, right? Because Lori figures something out and says, girls rock!
And now we go to the Autobots unloading crates from their ship, and Hotshot thinks their idea to check every city is for the birds, but they'll narrow the search down using the Omega Lock because they brought that with them too, and now it's back to normal size and not the size of Primus's back. I don't remember them packing that thing up.
Yeah, they set the Omega Key Lock Orb, Green Orb, on all these boxes and turn it on, I guess. But then we go to Crumple Zone and Ratchet or Ransack, and they're offering an injured Megatron chicken soup or a nice lozenge.
A lozenge, yes. And Megatron just bashes him and Ransack away, and he's surrounded by what Scourge calls his Aura of Fury now. It's just his purple cloud around Megatron.
It kind of looks like he did when he came back as a ghost, except he's not translucent. But Soundwave talks, and like I said in the last episode, he just has Gary Chalk's voice. He is just Optimus's voice from now on. But I don't even know what he says because it's a dumb line, but then Megatron...
Megatron's tripping because he got served.
And that, I guess Megatron doesn't like that because he goes, rah! And blasts everyone back and then flies up into the sky through the many, many ceilings above him.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden the rest of the Decepticons are outside with him, and Soundwave decides he's stuck around long enough, he'll check in on them later. And then back up in the sky in his aura of rage, I think they call it, Megatron says he needs more power, and somehow he gets it.
Yeah, but I thought the Omega Lock was what he was going to get to acquire all the power.
Because it does start glowing.
Yeah, but Megatron's like goals and direction has changed every single... Yeah. I'm going to fight a Starscream. No, I'm not. I'm going to get the Omega Lock. No, I'm not. I'm going to chase Starscream. No, I'm not. I'm going to fight Optimus. No, I'm not. I need power. No, I'm not. Ugh, shut up. So when this happens, though, Vector Prime feels, quote, a disturbance in the Force.
Yeah. Again, it's so blatant. Like, what happened, Vector
Prime?
They
can't help themselves.
It felt a great disturbance in the Force. He doesn't, like, finish the line, though, as many voices shouted out and were suddenly quiet, whatever Obi-Wan says. But Megatron now takes on some kind of, I think, non-corporeal form. Either that or he just really glows, and Thundercracker says he's done turned into a ghost, and Megatron starts diving through all the layers of the planet, and he gets straight to the Cyberplanet Key, which is in a room that does not look at all as though it's been abandoned for who knows how long.
It's pretty clean.
Yeah.
And he gets close to the key, and then something pushes him back, I guess. He tries to grab it, and then he's suddenly back on the surface, and Thunderblast is in love.
Yep. Her eyes just pop out of her head, and there's all these hearts floating around her when she sees him. And back with the Autobots, Vector Prime says he knows where the key is now, and he thinks that the disturbance before was someone draining power from it, but who could that be?
Do you know
Megatron is here? Who do you think?
Yeah, right. So somehow now Vector Prime has knows the direction the key's in, or a pathway to, or no, he knows the basic location of it, and the Autobots have to find a way down to it. right?
Yeah, it's something like that. So they split up into search teams to find the city data, which I guess will tell them how they can dig, basically.
Oh, and it's a good thing that Metroplex told us that they keep all the data from the cities. But we cut for a while to Wingding and Jetfire talking smack to each other in the air. Kobe's in one of them. And then Lori bemoans boys always fighting, and because I think she's an evac, and he's like, it's just guys being guys. Locker room talk, their toots. And evac decides he's going to go join in the smack talk.
And this made me laugh, though, because Optimus calls in for an update from these guys, and Jetfire tells him, we haven't found anything yet. And while he's talking, Wingding just sails past him and yells, Slowbot! Just keeps going. Oh, it just made me laugh. Just the way they even the way they animate Jetfire, like the front of him, it's kind of going up and down like a mouth.
Yeah. It's like on a Hercules and those big cargo jets. It's like how the front opens to load vehicles in. But Optimus is like, you know what, guys, just get back to work, would you? So we then cut to Vector Prime, who informs Optimus that Landmine, Leobreaker, and Snarl have not checked in.
Yep, so Optimus is going to give that a try. I guess he thought that Vector Prime wasn't trying hard enough to call them, and we see why they haven't replied. They've all had the shit kicked out of them, presumably by Megatron, because he's standing there with the darkness swirling around him, and he says he didn't even get his hands dirty, and was this the commercial break?
That's what I had, but I literally wrote a question mark after it, because it does feel like there's either multiple commercial breaks or they're just fading to black a lot now. But if that was a commercial break, when we come back, the Autobots are now around the unconscious Autobots, or Optimus and Gengar, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then we just cut to Override being chased by Megatron.
Yeah, they're just zooming along 200 miles an hour, and Megatron just slams into her and sends her flying, but Quick Mix out of nowhere jumps up and catches her and blasts back at Megatron, who transforms back to robot mode. And I gotta say, this looks really fucking cool right here, where he's all in that swirling darkness, and the only light you see is these two glowing red eyes.
Yeah, and he is just all black. Like, his paint color is just black. I wish they kept that. They're not gonna. But Optimus then finds Override and Quick Mix, and she gives him a warning about Megatron.
And Vector Prime now says, all right, it's too dangerous for us to all be out here separated, right? Bring the team back together. And with the others, Kobe's now crawling into some kind of a tunnel, which turns out to be part of a giant computer. And it even shows the Autobots standing outside this thing, and the controls for it are as high as their head. So yeah, it's built for the inhabitants of Gigantion, right? So that was kind of attention to detail, like that. But Evac thinks that if the data inside this computer hasn't been deleted, which they were told should have been deleted, then this computer is the one that will have the data they're looking for?
It doesn't matter. Because then Megatron takes out the, Cybertron Defense Team, which is Riddler, Hotshot, and Scattershot. And he just bemoans that he can't find a worthy opponent now. Instead of looking for the key.
Now he wants to fight. You want to fight? I'm a fight. But yeah, the Decepticons watch him leaving, and they're talking about the can of whoop butt, they call it, that he just opened on the Autobots. And Thunderblast now, she's like, it's up to 11 now, the hearts, and she's like swooning, like, oh, he's so hot and everything else.
So we cut back to Kobe, who finds the chip. I keep wanting to say Cody, and I'm like stumbling over his name, but he finds the chip, and Lori like cleans his, like a mom does, you got a smudge in your face. All she's not doing is licking her thumb to wipe it off. She's got a cloth. She like tries to clean his face. And then right away, Wingding spots Megatron and the Decepticons like a few stories down on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think even know that they're there, but Wingding and Evac try to buy Jetfire time to escape from these Decepticons that don't know they're there yet with the kids. But Megatron just effortlessly deals with them and slams Jetfire into the wall like by his face. And he wants to know where Metroplex is.
Yeah, and then, well, he actually asks where Optimus and Metroplex are, and then Optimus is here.
Yeah, he flies in and starts blasting at Megatron, and Optimus is like, hey, you want to fight Megatron? And Megatron's like, Megatron's not here. And he flies up into some kind of, like, vertical spin kick thing that knocks Optimus down to where the other Decepticons are.
And then he gets a new look, and he...
That's right, it's a brand new toy, it's a brand new Transformer, it's Galvatron!
Yeah, but in Megatron's colors.
Huh?
It's just that you sold him as Megatron when he had Galvatron's colors, and now you're selling him as Galvatron, but he's got Megatron's colors.
Ugh, you two dorks need to get a fucking life!
Hey, you know what, Paul? You're not wrong. It is kind of weird that he is, and he's really in Megatron's colors now. It's all like gray and black and red.
Yeah, and red eyes, finally.
Yes. And it's the same, like, mold. Well, he's the same shape if it was a toy, which it is. He's the same mold. But I do like these colors better.
Yep. And again, Thunderblast thinks, oh my God, he's so hot. And Ransack and Crumple Zone get out the paper fans again, like they do every once in a while. Like, what in the hell does that mean, dear listener? If any of you know what does that mean in an anime when they whip out the fans like that?
I always assumed it was like kind of, ooh, they're all, you know, verklempt and whatever.
Oh, did it get hot in here kind of thing?
Yeah. But Metroplex decides to attack Galvatron with his giant stick saw thing, whatever it is. And he cyber keys, but Galvatron just takes this thing away from him and knocks him out with it.
Well, yeah, just throws it back at him and knocks him down and sends him skidding on his back. And Vector Prime tries and fails spectacularly to attack Galvatron. And now we start with the movie references, because Optimus says, you know, I'll always fight him. And Galvatron's like, such heroic nonsense, which is what Megatron said just before he killed Ironhide.
Yeah. And honestly, David Kaye was like, oh, sweet, I finally get to say it. I've waited so long. I'm glad for him. I'm happy for him. But Optimus gets his ass knocked down a couple times. And then he has the flashback to when he's talking to Lorian Kobe's dad's or parents, and he's like, I promise that I'll keep them safe. And if he was smart, he would have said, man, that was a dumb promise. But no, that invigorates the fight in him again.
Yep, he forms super mode, and he and Galvatron punch fists. And there's another good line here. Galvatron says, you'll never be my equal. And Optimus is like, you're right. And Galvatron's like, I know. And then Optimus is like, clarifies again. He's like, I'll never stoop low enough to be your equal.
Yeah, that was a good line. It, not just a good line, but it was a good Galvatron Optimus interaction. So they, like you said, punch fists, and Optimus falls to one knee, but Galvatron's still good to go.
Yeah, and then now I guess we're doing the end of Resident Evil 4, because Metroplex throws his saw and a stick thing over to Optimus, like, here, use this, but Optimus can't even lift the thing.
Yeah, he's gonna cyber key up, but before that, Galvatron pulls out his Gatling gun and fires it. And before the bullets or lasers or whatever can get up to Optimus, he has time to cyber key, wield the sword or stick, and then I guess jump out of the way, and then charges with Metroplex's stick sword saw thing.
Yeah, and it's like that thing from all the samurai movies, I think you called it last time this happened, because they run at each other and they both smash each other. Then it shows them from a distance with the backs to each other. And Prime is the one that drops to one knee first. And Galvatron, we see him up close. He's like, haha, that's what you get for messing with me, whatever he says. But then parts of him start to explode.
Yeah, it's weird, though. Like, he should have like, wobbled and looked down and had a giant gash in his side.
Yeah.
I don't understand how hitting him with a buzzsaw the size of the CN Tower, like, makes his, like, little rivets and gears blow up on his joints. But that's what's happening. Anyway. Of course, the Decepticons flee, and Optimus thanks the kids for their inspiration, which is weak sauce.
Yeah, because of their bravery, it inspired him, and Jetfire tells them they need to pull together to fight like real mates against Galvatron, and then the other two were like, yeah, real mates, and then it sounds like Jetfire's correcting them here. He's like, real mates!
Yeah, I think they just, the audio mixing was supposed to have them all say it at the same time, but it's like, yeah, real mates, mate!
Yeah.
All right. So we go back to the Kijiji, and the Autobots are using whatever it was that Kobe found to plot this course underground to get the key.
Yeah, and they're flying over this city that is clearly not abandoned because there are lights on. But yeah, now they have the data they need to get underground, aka dig. But it looks like they won't need it because Scattershot detects a giant hole in the ground. I thought it was the one that Megatron, you know, punched into the thing to get down to the cyber planet key, but no, it's a different one.
Oh, I still thought it wasn't. Whatever. It doesn't matter because parked inside this crevice is the Nemesis. No, the Atlantis, and likely Bud.
They not only abandon the cities they build, they delete any record of them ever having existed just to make good and damn sure they can never go back. You can't look for something they don't know about, right? Well, yes you can. That's called research, exploration, pursuit of the unknown. What about their own memories? Do they delete those too? It would sure explain a lot. Is that why they keep building cities? To them, it's always a new idea. Hey, what do you want to do today? Let's build a city. That's a great idea. But These guys do have memories of things that happened before. How else would Quick Mix know a lot of things about a lot of things? He might not know where the key is, but he knows it exists. So why don't they remember their entire planet getting sucked through a wormhole? Seems to me that'd be the kind of thing they'd mention the first time they met the Autobots. Hey, did you come from the other side of the wormhole? And how did they survive the trip? I'll tell you how. Because it doesn't fucking matter how. That's how. Anybody can do it, apparently. The Decepticons are here, right? Soundwave got here. And after all that ridiculous shit with the open minds that think positively, hey, maybe it was intentional. Maybe to get away from Jolt, they moved their entire planet to another universe. Oh, he's gone? All right, boys, hit the gas. Let's get out of here now before he comes back. Make it look like an accident, Jim. Come on, let's go, go, go. Everybody think positively. We gotta...
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. The episode we just reviewed was Fury. Paul, what didn't make you mad?
I kind of like this one, and I really hate to say it, but Wang Ding is kind of growing on me. Like,
really?
When you see him in vehicle mode flying, looks really cool. And I mean, he's turning into Blue Streak from G1, really. He's the comic relief character. They're not even trying to play him seriously. And even the other characters are treating him like that. Like, they're not even taking him seriously. So, like I said, he's growing on me. I don't think he'll ever be my favorite, but Wang Ding, he's definitely not as bad as he was in Armada or Energon, whatever he was in. I think it was Armada.
Optimus being annoyed with him does help the character, where like he'll say something dumb and Optimus is like, really? I do like that.
That's your line?
Yeah, the Optimus and Galvatron fight was pretty good. But more than that, what I really liked was I did like his G1 Megatron colors, but more so, I really liked his look when he was all black and just like this black cel-shaded color with the red eyes. It was a great look for a bad guy.
And kind of the effect of like the smoky mist kind of thing around him with just the eyes glowing out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great look. Like, that's what they should have kept for Galvatron, but they didn't. However, the next episode Paul and I are going to review is City. If you want to talk to a couple metropolitan dudes, you can email the show, transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us on your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com, and until the next episode, keep on transforming!
See you later! Slowbot!